Let me get Andrew in here. Well, okay, Lord, we just thank you so much for another night tonight, another good night tonight. Father, I praise you for this avenue you've given us to be able to come together as a fellowship, even though some of us are thousands of miles away from each other. That's okay. We're one in the spirit. And we thank you, Father, for bringing us all together. Let tonight be a special time, Father. Thank you, Lord, for filling us all up with your spirit. And let this be a special occasion tonight. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for all my brothers and sisters all over the world. And we thank you, Father, for a night that'll be filled with you, revelations from your word, and also from you, Lord. And we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Thank you for all the prayers that you've already answered for us. It seems like there's no prayer that you won't answer for us, Lord. And that's awesome. I thank you, Lord, for open heaven tonight. Again, in Jesus' name. And right now, I take authority over all of our communications. I cast out any kind of enemy that would try to disrupt our communications in Jesus' name, that tonight's going to be special. Nobody's going to be kicked out of here in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father, that tonight is going to be special. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody believe that? Amen. I do. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Greg, go ahead, brother.
One that came up to me during the, it's 8 o'clock in the morning for me, in the middle of the night. I was actually up listening to April's radio show, but a woman by the name of Caroline, I've never met this person, I just know of her. But she's, you know, I've seen a journey, spiritually speaking, from, being lifted out of the miry clay, anyway, to, she's somewhere in the world, and the Lord's leading her. But just last night, there was a sense that I needed to basically pray with her, jump in and be a defense and call in the angels. Without going to explain the whole story, I just want to cover that again now, if that's okay. All right, Lord, I join with brothers and sisters here. And Lord, we thank you for the authority you give us, and we ask your permission to bring this to the aid of Carolina. Lord, that the ground around her would not only be made safe by the presence of your forces, but it would be holy ground that the enemy would not come near her, that she could continue to grow and continue to learn about you, Lord, and that her journey back to her family, and in fact what you're doing in her family, would continue. So enemy, be bound and be pushed back. But no, this rescue is going ahead full force, and the Lord's work will be done, because his arm is not so short he cannot save. Amen, that'll do. The Lord can take care of it from there.
Okay. Lord, we just believe with Greg. You're doing it in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Okay, let's see. Let me let somebody in. Sebastian and Desiree. I don't know this one. Do you know him, Greg?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And they have been previously. They're in New Zealand. lovely couple. They have a brilliant story.
All right. Oh, yeah. Hi, Sebastian. Okay. Anyone else got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Yesterday, I think it was. When I was out walking, it was yesterday. I was walking on the other side of the another part of the development or whatever, and there were these two women walking, and the one kind of like she stopped and she says, "I don't want to go to the park." She kind of like was like, you know, and I just like kept walking. I was like, "What was that about?" Well, here when I came back around, that woman had left, and the other woman was like standing there. She was like standing there at her driveway, and she just kind of like started talking to me or something. And I forget what it was she said, but she said something to me about the other woman, you know. And the gist of it was is she's really nervous and afraid of this whole coronavirus thing and everything, and she didn't want to go over to the park where there was more people, where there's hardly ever that many people over there at all. And whenever I go through there, and her name is Susie, the woman that kind of spazzed out, and the other woman's name is Gloria. That was, she told me about her friend, and she said, I think she might have, the woman Susie that was real nervous about the whole coronavirus thing, I think she kind of referred to her as being a Christian. And here Gloria is a Jew. She told me that. And we were talking, and I'm like, there wasn't a whole lot I could say. I could put stuff in here now and then, you know, and you know, like Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you know. You know, everybody has their way, and if we're good, and I'm like, oh, you know, it's hard to stand there and listen to that, you know, and you put your stuff in, you know, and you know, it, and I just knew that there wasn't going to be anything really that I was going to say, but I only said what I, you know, that was going to say any, you know, that was going to make an impact at that point. But I planted seeds, and I said some things, you know, what I could that I felt the Lord leading me to say. And anyway, her friend Susie, she lives with her boyfriend, and her boyfriend drinks, and so now she's drinking, and that's why she's like nervous and shaky and stuff, she said. And so I just told her, you know, that I'd keep her in my prayers and all. So I just wanted to pray for both of them. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that I believe that was a divine appointment, Lord, even though it was kind of odd and awkward. But Lord, I said things that you brought to my mind at the time, and the enemy would, you know, was trying to put condemnation on me. Well, you should have said this, or you should have said that, and you don't know the word that well. And I'm like, no, what came to my mind was what the Lord brought to my mind, and I said what I was supposed to say. And anyway, so Lord, I just ask you, I just pray for both of them for repentance unto salvation, Lord. And I ask you to get us, to work in Susie, that she sees that this relationship isn't any good for her, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for showing Gloria that you are the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, Lord. And and I spoke things to her, Lord, and I just thank you, Lord, that those seeds that I planted are going to sprout and not return void, and they're going to produce, they're going to be the beginning of your working in her heart, Lord. And I just ask you to break up the hardness of both of them. I just break the power of of Satan over both their lives, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for breaking the power of religion and self-works off of Gloria and probably Susie too, because that's how a lot of people think, Lord, that they don't realize it's by grace that you've done it all and it's a free gift and they don't need to do anything, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for granting them both repentance unto salvation, Lord. And Lord, I ask you, if it's your will, that you bring me across Gloria's path again and strike up a conversation again, Lord, if it's your will. It's the first time I ever met her out of all these years walking by your house, Lord. And I think a lot of us are meeting people probably that we've never met before just because of this whole shutdown and not having normal schedules, Lord. And I just thank you and praise you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. She planted a seed.
Okay. Seeds.
Anyone else? Go ahead, Denny.
I want to pray for our grandbaby, Victory's son, Hatcher. And he's teething right now. And it's been a rough day. She didn't have any medicine for it to numb it. And then she did find some late in the day, but we told her we'd pray for him. So, Father, we lift up little Hatcher to you. Just help him to cut these teeth and get this through and take away the pain, Lord. And we just thank you, Father. Do a miracle. Just bless Victory, Lord, with her and help her to comfort her son. And just bless her, God. Yes, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We command those gums, the pain to go out of those gums now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be an easy transition for that baby. Coming into teeth. We can bite down on an apple. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And can I share something while we're here?
Yeah, sure.
We haven't talked to our daughter, Gloria, for quite a while. And sat down here and got a text from her, pictures of the snow, I guess they just got. And Missy shared about this Gloria. I just feel told her, I think we should pray for Gloria. So I want to pray for her. Lord, I just know that Gloria's got a lot of thoughts in her mind. I know you're taking her thoughts towards you, Jesus, and to decisions she has to make in her life, God. Lord, that she can walk with you in holiness, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would just give her the courage to face the truth and the word, God, and know it's the truth, God, and give her the courage, God, to do what she has to do, Lord, and her relationship, Lord, with John, Lord, God. I just pray that you would cause her to help her to just really give her life over to you, Father. Mm-hmm. I want to walk in your ways, Lord, and I just lift her up to you, Father, Jesus. Whatever it is you're doing in her life right now, Lord, and you'd have your way, and that she would listen, Lord, and respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? What about praise reports or testimony? Hi, Andrew. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I've got like four praise reports rolled into one. Just that the Lord put me through a couple of trials about 2 weeks ago now, and tested my faith and honored my faith with deliverance on four separate things that were happening to me kind of simultaneously. The first one started out, I think, order's kind of jumbled here, but the first thing, I started having these things in my ear, in my right ear. It was just like 3 hertz little vibration in there. And, I'd kind of go away, and it would last as long as I let it, but when I rebuked it, it would go away, but then I'd come right back. sometimes it'd be an hour between times, other times it'd be, you know, 20, 30 seconds, and I'm going, well, I don't need this. And so I was rebuking it, but not standing really, really firm in it. I didn't know what it was, and it wasn't that big a deal. And while that happened, I was working on a trailer, and I got some iron filings in my eye. And the last time that happened was about 3.5 years ago, and they were in good at that time. And my son reminded me that if that rusted in my eye, they had to take a Dremel tool and dig out the part of the eye that had the rust in it. So I ran to Egypt 3.5 years ago and got those things taken out. And I asked the eye doc, I said, "My son said that." He goes, "Yeah, that's pretty much what happens. If you let them rust in your eye, you're going to dig them out with a Dremel tool." Okay. So this time I got them, and I go, you know, I'm going to, you know, trust the Lord to take care of this for me. And my eyes bloodshot and irritated, and my nose is running on that side, and I'm kind of miserable with it. But I'm, you know, I'm waiting for the Lord to fix that. And he did it in a really funny way, but it worked, and he honored my faith, because about the third day I had those in my eye, I was mowing the lawn, and I make a turn, and the dry grass from last time blew up and came right in my right eye, too. I'm out in the way out in the yard, and I'm asking the Lord, "What's this all about?" You know? And I just got a peace over me. He says, "You know, I'm sovereign. It's there for a reason." So lo and behold, when the grass, I guess it scraped the metal out of my eye, went in and washed out altogether. And about that time, I got that thing in my ear, and I just rebuked it, and I said, "Go away, leave me alone, devil. You don't have any right here." And that night I laid down in bed, and both sinuses went like that. And I go, "No, devil, get away from me. You know, you don't have any right in this body. I'm a child of God. Leave me alone." And my sinuses cleared up instantly. And when I got up in the morning, my eye was good. The hearing thing hadn't done anything wrong. And then a couple of days ago, I was working on a generator, and I put my finger right on top of a wasp. He shillelaghed me right in the end, and it started stinging and throbbing and swelling up. And I go, "No, I don't have to take this." And in a half hour, there was no sting, no swell, no pain. I had to look and see which hand it was that he got me, and I couldn't hardly tell. So just want to thank the Lord for honoring my faith, putting me through these trials, and giving me the strength and the wherewithal to trust in him and taking the deliverance. And just praise God, because he will take care of us. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for giving us faith to believe your promises. Thank you, Lord. That's good. Thank you, Father. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
Well, remember I had you all pray with me that I would have a good conversation with my son Matt when I talked to him for his birthday. We it was nothing, you know, spectacular, but we talked for a little bit, and the icing on the cake was this. When I was telling him, you know, okay, I gotta get going now, he said, "Well, Grandma and Grandpa just were trying to call me, you know." So he was going to call them back, which, you know, there's a strain between my parents and Matt and Megan. So I just talked to my mom earlier, and she said that all she said was that she, you know, Matt called back, and they sang him happy birthday and everything. That's all she said, and she didn't say anything more than that, you know. And so I just thank you, Lord, for the communication and the good communication, and thank you, Lord, for tearing down them walls in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Merle sounds like he's having a party upstairs. All right. Anybody else? I think Judy's fixing to go, and the gay note fixing to say something. Come on, golden girls.
Well, I have this issue. When we all prayed for Lana for her vision, and I was claiming that for myself as well. And I'm really having a difficult time with my glasses. Everything looks like it has a film on it. It's not bright at all. I take my glasses off. Everything in the distance is fine, but I can't read. And I spend most of my day reading. And so I know the Lord is wanting me to take my glasses off, but then I can't read. So I guess I need prayer, and I'll let you decide how you should pray for me. I guess I try to speak that. I have to not say I can't read. That's the thing. I just get frustrated when I can't read. So I put it in your hands.
Okay. Well, we'll just pray. Then we're going to pray. And yes. Then from this point on, we're just going to praise God for your healing, right?
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay. In the name of Jesus right now, I command her eyes to be perfect.
Amen.
Long distance, middle distance, and up close. Another one, perfect. That she won't have to wear glasses for any of it. Lord, Amen. We thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that she's got perfect 20/20 vision. Yes. In Amen. Jesus' name. And we Amen. Praise you, Father, for doing that for Gano. You did it for me. You did it for David. You've done it for many others. And I know you'll do it for Gano, too.
Thank
In Jesus'
Lord.
Name. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you.
That's a good idea.
Yes.
Amen.
I need to take them off.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Lana.
On the topic of vision, I just wanted to ask for a prayer of support. I feel like that I'm learning a lot about faith, and this healing journey is definitely new to me, but I'm finding it easier to rest in the Lord in the form of just ignoring the fact that my healing hasn't manifested itself, I feel like. And I've made the mistake of claiming that I can't see something. I didn't realize that I probably should not do that. And there's been moments of utter weakness, but I continue to believe, and yet I hope I'm doing enough, so to speak. And vision is important, and I'm in the midst of a sewing project, and I can't not pick up a magnifying glass to thread a needle because I no longer wear glasses or contact lenses. I can read, but I'm not required to read a lot right now. I've been listening to a lot of your teachings on podcast. So that's kind of where I am. I'm believing one moment, and the next moment I just kind of ignore the entire situation, and I want to do better. I want this to manifest itself sooner rather than later.
Amen. What is faith? Faith is calling those things that are not as though they were.
Amen.
And your healing, my healing, everyone's healing, it's not something you look forward to in the future, because your healing was taken care of 2,000 years ago. And we look back and claim it and say it's already done without any hesitation. Somebody says, well, where's your glasses? Well, God healed my eyes. That's a confession of faith. It's not a lie, because you're saying the things that are in the Word of God. Well, I can't see. Well, no, you can, because the Word of God says that you can. You're not under the curse. And that's the type of confession that God wants from each of us. Well, I can't see the book. Well, no, you can too, because God said you can see the book. I'll tell you my experience with what happened to me. Some of you already heard it. Most of you have already heard it, but some of you haven't. I had heard that testimony of David's. This was back in 2008 or 9, somewhere along in there, about his getting his vision. He couldn't, you know, he had glasses as well. And the Lord healed him immediately. And I said, well, and here's what I prayed. I said, Lord, if you can do it for David Eels, you can do it for Michael Hare. And I'm believing right now that I don't see. I couldn't see far off, and I couldn't see close up. I could see out in there. There was a place that I could see, but far off and up close, I couldn't see. So I wore, bifocals. You know, and I said, I'm tired of these things. Every time I bend over, they fall off my face or whatever, you know, whatever it was. I said, I'm just claiming it right now that I can see. And then I reached, grabbed my Bible, which was a number 10 font, and I started reading. I just opened the book, and it was just one big blur. And I said, well, I'm just going to sit here, and I thank you, Father, that I can see this Bible. And it wasn't too much longer that it started clearing up, and I could see. And that's the way it's been. Now, it hasn't been that way the whole time. This thing keeps trying to come back on me, but I just rebuke it. You have to just endure in your faith. And that's what I did. And even now, you know, sometimes that Bible will start fuzzing up on me. And I said, nope, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, because my eyes are crystal clear. I can see this Bible, and it'll just immediately go away. You have to endure in your faith to the end. Now, look, I'm not trying to put anybody under condemnation about wearing glasses or doing anything that you haven't had the faith to believe yet. Get your faith built up, where you know that when you pray, that it's going to happen, and it'll happen. And that's really all I wanted to say is you have to endure in your faith. You have to start confessing the good confession before men. Somebody said, aren't you reading? Where's your reading glasses? Where's your glasses at? I don't need them anymore. Don't need them anymore. You know, that's the type of confession. That book, The Tongue Conquers the Curse, is a good book. It teaches you how to talk faith. That's an excellent book for that. So anyway, Lord, I'm going to pray for you, Lana. In the name of Jesus right now, we command doubt and unbelief to go. And we thank you, Father, that you're placing in her great and bold faith to believe your promises. She's not under the curse. I command that lying demon out to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. I command those eyes to straighten up and see 2020. And every time she picks up the Word of God, she's going to be able to see and read the Word of God like she never has before. And Father, I thank you for that. I just praise you, Father, for your healing power going through her eyes right now, and Gano's eyes, and anybody else that receives this in the name of Jesus, that the healing power of the Holy Spirit is going throughout this room, healing people's eyes that believe. And Father, we thank you that we are healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all my brothers and sisters, and placing that great and bold faith in each one of us, and teaching us, Father, how to talk that faith message. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. It's done deal. I believe it too. Anybody here not believe it? If everybody believes it, raise your hand. Lord of God, thank you, Jesus. I just believe it. Praise God forevermore. I thank you, Lord, that everybody here can see 2020 that wants it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yay. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo-hoo. All right. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Okay. I believe it. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe.
All right, I had to take.
Yeah, hallelujah, Judy, Julie.
Okay. Oh, okay, yeah. No, I'm encouraged lately, just at work, and I think this might, I don't know, might be a confirmation, but I mean, if not, the Lord will, you know, confirm it. But I guess every time I try to talk about, you know, the Lord, or just try to start any conversation at work, I know the enemy would shut it down. You know, he'd have it away. The boss would come by on the car, like, you need to stop talking, get to work, or whatever. He'd love to do that before. And, but no, I've had many more conversations lately this past week. I've just got to share, you know, hey, you know, just to tell people, yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, I'll tell some of my testimony in the past and just have conversations, you know, plant a lot of seeds with people. And it seems like the enemy's just, he's been off somewhere doing who knows what. So, I mean, it's just like there's no interference from the enemy. And I mean, if there has been, it hasn't been anything like in the past. So, I mean, I'm encouraged, but I'm, and like I said, I don't know if this is a confirmation, but I guess years ago, you know, when I left the apostate church, you know, kind of set off on my own, as I thought, but, you know, just left what I thought was Christianity and began to seek the Lord. There was a brother who, you know, we met at a church. You know, I met him for the first time. So he prayed over me, you know, that the Lord would give me a spirit of evangelism. And I guess I was telling someone this earlier, this, you know, today, that I think I've always had these thoughts of me just kind of being an evangelist or ministering to people. I would see in my mind, you know, I'd see these pictures or I'd see these things. So I don't know if that's the Lord confirming, you know, like a step further into walking into that, but I know he will. But I mean, I'm encouraged because I see that, just that love to just talk to people again, you know, for so long. And I think I do believe that's the case. Cause I thought, well, yeah, I mean, for those, I mean, you know, a few of you who have met me, you know, I can be pretty, you know, kind of reserved. I don't go out of my way to talk to people a lot of times. So I thought, well, I could see that being the case because it'll be the Lord who does it, you know, not me. It won't be in my own strength to be able to evangelize and to speak to people, you know, and to actually move in that, you know, realm. So I thought if that's the case, then it'll be all God, you know, and so I don't know. I'm encouraged about it. You know, so it seems like I'm moving into that. And so having more conversations and just speaking up and, you know, whereas before I'd be like, oh, I don't know. Should I say this? Or, you know, I don't want the boss to come around and tell me to be quiet and get to work, but none of that anymore. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for overcoming power. Jesus' name. Hey, Denny, check your chat. All right. Anybody else? Hey, Debbie, check your text. She got to have a ding on or a ding dong or something like that so you know when they come in. All right. Anybody else got a praise report or testimony? What do you think, Debbie?
I'm looking for
it. She's looking for it.
Oh, okay. Debbie had a good word from the Lord the other night, and I thought it was appropriate for this group as well. It's a real good word.
Somewhere. Where'd it go?
Huh. Show me archives. Hey, Jeff, you look like you're having too much fun eating there, buddy. We got a lot of faces in here that hadn't been in here in a while. It's so good to see y'all. Dirk and Paula, Sebastian and Desiree, all of y'all.
Hello.
Hey, we come Sebastian.
In New Zealand.
Yeah. Yeah. How's it going?
Yep, going good. Be 3 weeks. We probably have another week and then go into level three. Yeah, it's pretty good.
What is level three?
No shops, no coffees. You have to stand 2 meters apart. So some businesses will still not be open.
Oh, really?
Somehow schools are allowed to open, but only for children in grades under 10.
Oh, okay.
It's very logical.
Yeah. Well, they've shut the schools down here. Gosh, a couple of weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago. Did you find it, Debbie?
We've been on complete lockdown for a month now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Can you get out?
We're allowed to go for walks in our neighborhood.
Ah. Okay. Well, we're fortunate. We live up on top of a hill, and ain't nobody lives around us, and we got hundreds of acres of woods and pasture we can walk through.
Well, we used to come into your group maybe like 2 or 3 years ago when you just got on Zoom there. We used to hang out in Peter Johnson's group there with Tracy and Keys.
Yeah.
So
we're glad to have you.
Yeah, we're happy to be here. Greg there invited us over.
Well, good. Greg did it. Okay. Good to have you.
Cheers.
All right, Debbie, you ready?
Yes.
All right, y'all listen up. This is a good word from the Lord.
Enough! Exclamation point. No more going around the same mountain of woes, oh me's, and fears. For can you not do all things and overcome all things through my strength that strengthens you? The devil's lies and self-accusations and self-condemnations have been a great weakness and defeat to you. You must cast off these weaknesses and lies that hinder your going forth in all the power of my spirit. Embrace me. Embrace all that I am in you. I in you and you in me. Embrace us. That is your victory. Purposely cast these other things down. Open your mouth wide in faith, and I will fill it with praises and victories that will destroy and defeat the enemy, and you will go forth and you will stand in mighty victory. I say to you, my children, enough of speaking what you feel and what you see. What you know in your spirit as truth against your flesh and your enemy, speak that. Rise up and walk in the power and truth of my word. You know that. You know that. It is your power, for it is my power in you. Enough is enough. You must come out from under, unleash from your mouth and through actions by faith this power in you which will destroy any plan and work of the enemy. As you do, it will leave behind a battlefield of debris, weaknesses, and lies. And you, like a mighty army, will move forward victorious. This is the day. This is the time. Move out with your sword in your mouth and declare, enough victory. The end.
Amen. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Condemnation, go. Thank you, Lord, amen, that we are children and men and women of faith.
Thank amen.
God. Glory. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Jesus, man.
I think I was feeling really strongly through the prayers of the eyes. And
I could hear.
Our eyes, about the mirror, a prayer for the eyes and miracles and just speaking it. I just felt like that's another thing God is wanting to say. It is time now because this is the time. This is the time. We've got to start speaking that faith and believing that we have what we said we have and stop saying the other. But you've already been saying that, Michael, but I just felt it really strongly too that this is the time. It's time now for that. So.
Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
But we know.
Yep, it is. I don't know how to do it. Greg asks, is this that distributable in type? And it is. Somebody's waiting. Okay, April got dropped off, I guess. All right, yeah, it is, and I'll send it out in email. Greg, if that's all right.
Yes, I can approve that. Thank you. No, they think I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'll do that when we get off. That's a good word. That goes along with that the one you just mentioned. What was it?
Who just mentioned me?
Yeah, she.
Oh, the thing I sent you, the email?
No, oh. No, I'm talking about Debbie.
The praying for believing for miracles. Is that what you're talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, yeah. It's time.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, it's time. This is the time.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. I'll try to get them both together, send them out, because they coincide with each other. Yeah, it's time, folks, to step up and start believing. Because we're going to see some stuff here that y'all it's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow everybody's mind. People are going to be shocked at the amount of faith that God's people has here in just a little while. I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. Just believe. That's all you got to do. Just believe. Get in the Word and start reading the Word. Because that's where you get your faith. Is reading the Word of God. Not only reading the Word, but praying in the Spirit a lot. Praying in the Spirit a lot. Because you get in the Spirit when you do that. All right. All right. Anybody else got a comment or something they'd like to talk about? Yeah, Paula.
What you just said, Michael, just reminded me of what I read this morning in Acts 14, verse 3. Long time therefore they tarried there, speaking boldly in the Lord, who bare witness unto the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands.
Woo, glory to God. Yeah, that's right, girl. That's exactly right. I can get excited. Can y'all get excited about what God's doing in us? Woo, my. Just think of this. When you touch somebody and you pray for them in healing, you know that the power of God is going right straight from him through you to them. And there ain't nothing but electricity. I remember that story that John G. Lake told. Glory to God. He had been asking the Lord to baptize him in the Holy Spirit with power. And he'd been doing it for about a year. And people said, John, you're already baptized in the Spirit, man. And he just keep on, Lord, I don't look like I am. I want the power of God in my life. I want to know that it's you, God. And he did that for years. Just go down the street hollering at God, God, fill me up with your Holy Spirit and power. He did. He'd walk down the street. People look at this. That's just John. He's sitting, I don't know how to say, you know, just shake the head and roll out. One day, his old buddy came by and said, man, said, I got this old lady over there. She's got rheumatoid arthritis. Go with me and let's go pray for her. And he said, yeah, he would. So they went over there to this old lady. She was in a wheelchair. And he was sitting over watching this other guy. He was down on his knees praying for this woman, had his hands on her knees. And the power of God hit John G. Lake. And he said it felt like rivers of water, just washed through him. The power of God just washed all the way through him. And more, and he was just electrified. And he got up, he knew that if he laid his hands on that woman, that it'd probably blow the feet right off of her because it was that stout. He said, so I just put my finger on her. I just put my finger on her. And said the power went through her, healed her, knocked the preacher back off away from her. The power did, away from her. That's how much power. She just jumped up and went to screaming. She was instantly healed. That's the same type of power that God has available for each one of us, to those that believe. Woo, my goodness sakes alive. We do have that power. We have all the blessings of heaven available to us. Every one of us have all the blessings of heaven available to us. What is that? That's all the power you need, folks. That's all the power you need. When you get up in the morning, as David teaches quite a bit, you look in that mirror, you see Jesus walking out. And when you see Jesus walking out, you know power is there. And anytime that you open your mouth to pray for somebody, glory to God, it's going to happen. Snowstorms that are hundreds and hundreds of miles wide and hundreds of miles long will split and go around you like they have us before. Cars will start that couldn't start before. Leaks, water leaks will be healed inside of walls forever. All kinds of good things happen when you believe God. Listen, you know, I used to put God in a box. I put him in a box. Well, he can heal. Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen all kinds of healings. You know, that's cool. I want to see one of them arms grow out. I want to see one of them legs grow out, you know. I haven't seen that. I'm talking about one that's been chopped off, taken off. I want to see that come back out. We're going to see it here shortly. I want to see people walking around with signs and wonders following them as they preach the word of God, and people coming in droves, revival starting. That's going to happen. That's just keep praying for revival. Keep praying for revival, because there's people in this group right here that's going to be walking out there. Hundreds and thousands of people are going to be healed, delivered, and set free because of your ministry that God has put you in here for. Oh, my. It's a great time we're looking at, folks. I believe it. Yeah, Missy.
Okay, Lord, help me to say this. You help me to get it out in words.
Give her boldness, Lord. Zap! You got it, girl.
Well, the Lord impressed me. It was really, he just, and it's like, okay, yeah, we know that, you know, but when the Lord really puts it in you and you really know, I don't know how to explain it, but this is what the Lord was showing me the other day. And I believe it was last week, you know, he was showing me, you know, in Hebrews, it says, one place it says that the Lord learned obedience through the things which he suffered, and that he was perfected by the things which he suffered. In other words, the things that he suffered. So how is it that he overcame? He's no different than us. The very same spirit that dwelled in him, that was in him, that he was filled with when he was baptized, is the same very spirit that we have in us. Okay? And we have the same power that he has, mm-hmm. The power of the Holy Spirit. Yep. And there's nothing that we can't do. And he said, greater things shall you do because I go unto the Father, because he was going to send his spirit to us, the comforter, our helper, you know? And it's like, you know, even though the Lord gave me such a strong understanding of that and revelation and encouraged me, it's like, Lord, I want a greater understanding. Okay, I believe it, okay? Okay, we don't necessarily have to maybe so much understand it, believe that what God says, you know, that he said, don't go out until you're endued with power, until you're filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? And I think probably everybody here is probably filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaks in tongues. We have that same power. He took away our sins. He took our sin upon himself, took the punishment that we deserved upon himself. Our sins are taken away. They're washed away. And even though it's not, may not be completely manifest as far as like our flesh, because it's our flesh that sins, we don't intentionally sin. We don't willfully sin. And, you know, we have to repent now and then. And as long as it's not willful sin, there's no condemnation. And so it's, we have that power, the power, the omnipotent power of God. You know, I mean, he spoke everything into being. Abraham believed the God that calls the things that are not as though they were. You know, he told him he was going to have a son, even though he was 99, you know, 100 years old or whatever, and Sarah was 90, you know. He believed what God told him, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. He gave us his righteousness. And it's like, I ain't got the words to completely convey, you know, the power of that understanding that the Lord gave me. And it's like, Lord, I want to really, really believe that, to go out on a limb for anything that you put in my heart, to think big and to think that nothing is impossible. You know, I really, really want that bold, strong faith that, you know, and it's like, you know, I want to, you know, praying for the eyes earlier is like, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, the Lord reminded me of what he showed me, you know, about that power. Not only, you know, the Lord was never sick. He was never sick. Why? Because he never sinned. And justified is as if you never sinned, just as if you never sinned. We're all justified by faith. Reckoned righteous by faith, believing that Jesus did it all on the cross. He redeemed us from the curse. He washed away our sins. If he washed away our sins, then the curse is not on us, because the curse is there because of sin. We're not under the curse. We're all healed. We have divine health just like Jesus did.
Amen.
And we're all healed. We're all healed. With God, there is no time. If he was crucified and we were crucified with him before the foundation of the world, then we were also healed from the foundation of the world. If he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, everything is ours. Everything, everything is ours. Lord, give us that strong, bold faith to really believe it and act on it and receive it, because it is ours. With you, there is no time. Here's the beginning. Here's the end. In between, there is nothing in between, because with God, there is no time. The end and the beginning are the same as far as God is concerned. There's nothing in between. There's no time with God. There's no time in between. That is I guess you could say an analogy, something that the Lord impressed me a few years back. And now and then the Lord reminds me of that. And it's like, help us, Lord, to endure in the trial of our faith, to believe and stand firm no matter what, Lord. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, and I guess it's, you know, it's like, okay, it's easy for me to confess and believe for everything as far as healing and things, but I don't know why it's so hard for me to believe for this and go out on the limb and get rid, because I've tried it before, you know, tried to believe before. And it's like, Lord, why? Why can't I? This is the one thing. And it's like, why? Why can't I just strengthen me? Strengthen us all. I think we all probably have something. Strengthen us in our faith to endure to the end and be stubborn. Stubborn to say, no, it's mine. To fight the good fight of the faith. You know, the last time I tried to believe from my eyes, I said, why should I? I don't understand. I know that it's mine. Why do I have to fight for it? Because it's a trial of my faith. Because the Lord showed me that the other day. Because it's a trial of your faith. Lord, strengthen us all. Help us all to endure to the end the trial of our faith and be stubborn to act out and confess it over and over and over that we are healed. And we don't receive anything different. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what I see with my eyes. It doesn't matter what I see with my eyes concerning anything. It doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter what I hear. I know what your word says, and I'm standing on your word. And your word says, by your stripes, I am healed. By your stripes, Lord, every part of my body is healed. My eyes are healed, and everything is healed. And you healed the many blind people. And they saw, and that's mine too, even so much more, because they received their sight before you even died on the cross, when you commanded them to have to be healed. That was before you redeemed us from the curse. Now we're in the new covenant, and it's mine. I have a new covenant. It's by faith, and it's not by my works. It's not by my works. It's by your grace, only your grace. And I receive it in Jesus' name. I am healed. I believe that I have received, not at the cross, but way back when you chose me in you before the foundation of the world. When I died with you, I was crucified with you. And if I was crucified with you, you know, before the foundation of the world, I was also resurrected with you before the foundation of the world. Everything was even mine way back then, because with you there's no time. It's like praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, for loving us so much. Help us to get that deep in our hearts. We don't have to understand it. We just have to say, let God be true and every man a liar. Your word is truth above everything else. And everything else is a lie. Everything else is a lie. And I can Amen. See, and my eyes are healed.
Yes, they are.
This name. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord.
I believe everybody in here believes it too.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Missy's eyes are here. Debbie's eyes are here. Lana's eyes are here. Everybody's, Gano's eyes are here. Sue's eyes are here. Everybody's eyes, Andrew's eyes are here. Leon's eyes is here. Everybody's eyes is healed. Glory to God, I believe it. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you.
Amen. Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
Amen. You know, here, about a couple of years ago, this is when I really got a revelation that you can't put God in a box. He can do anything. And that was, we was in a morning prayer meeting. And one of the ladies spoke up and she said, David, can I believe for my natural father's salvation? Oh, yeah. Well, he's been dead for how long it was. This is an older lady. He said, yeah. Said, God doesn't deal in time. Now, we're talking about powerful, that revolutionary thinking here to keep God out of a box. God created us. God created the universe that's around us. God can do anything. So I started believing too. I said, if that's the truth, Lord, then I'm believing for my dad too. You know, and that just opened up a new realm for me. Y'all can bring up the most silly thing to believe God for. I'm going to believe with you because I know God can do it. He made your eyes, Missy. If he made your eyes, he can make your eyes see like it's supposed to when we believe. Listen, a lot of times we have faith up here and we need to move it from here down to the spirit. And when you, the way you do that is by reading and studying the Word of God. Read that real good news. Get that in your heart. Get that in your spirit. When you get that in your spirit, there's nothing that you can't believe God for, I guarantee. Had a friend of mine backed over his dog, little dog, with a 2-ton truck. Well, you know what happens when you run over a little dog with a 2-ton truck? Nothing good. And he just got out of the truck and just went to wailing. Oh, my goodness, I've run over my dog, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he got in the house and he prayed. He said, Lord, if there's any way you can, bring that dog back to me. Next morning, he was sitting right there at the back door waiting on him to be fed. This dog was squashed as flat as a flitter. And God took him, put him back together and had him right there for him the next morning. He can do that. He can hear your eyes. He can do anything. Glory to God. Go ahead, Julie. Ooh, my.
Amen. Amen. I was just thinking a lot of things when Missy was talking and y'all have been talking and stuff. But one of the things that was coming to my mind is, I think we've all probably experienced at least one or two, you know, quick healings manifested immediately and that kind of thing, and those are great. And it's these long, fiery trials that the proving of our faith has to be worked in us, and God's doing a really, really perfecting work as we are patient and enduring and all that. And that's why it is so important to keep confessing and praising and thanking God for it, because we know it's already done. We know that, we believe that God sees that, and our faith is seen in the spirit realm, and our faith is powerful because it's the faith of God. It's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. It's by grace have we been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. So we just have to really just rest in those promises and let God do it. You know, we just receive it, and it may not happen right when we want it. And when it doesn't happen right when we want it, you know, that's when we go through the trials. And I believe the Lord wanted me to share this experience I had yesterday. It was either yesterday or the day before. Kind of goes with Debbie's word that you received from the Lord, Debbie, about being enough. I went up to the grocery store the other day, and I walked out of my apartment complex and went out to the parking lot that's behind me over here. And I had just happened to, you know, look up. It was a really pretty day out. I looked up, and I see this red-tailed hawk flying above me. It's kind of circling around, and there's this big old black crow that was kind of harassing this hawk. And I've seen this before, you know, I've seen it before. I haven't seen it that close to me before, but I've seen it before. And I just stood there and watched it for a while. And this hawk was just, you know, just soaring, you know, how they do. They just, they're on the currents there, and they're just soaring around. And this crow just kept badgering him and kept harassing him and stuff. And I'm like, wow, what's going on, Lord? What are you showing this to me, you know? And I just was watching it for a while, and I started walking again, and I kept looking. And a few minutes later, I looked back up, and the hawk was higher up in altitude, and there were three crows harassing him, doing the same thing. But the hawks, I had to look it up later about what was going on. But Laura was just showing me this, like, we're like the hawk or the eagle, right? We're soaring, and those black crows are like the spiritual oppression that's going on around us, and they're harassing us, and they're constantly, you know, pecking on us and trying to distract us. And what I was getting from that is like, when I looked it up later, it's called, I think it's called bobbing. And that birds of prey, it's a normal thing for these other birds to, when they're nesting or whatever, like the crows or whatever, they're territorial. And anyhow, I read a lot about it. It was pretty interesting. But the Lord is showing me, it's like, you know, this is my land, and I can soar, and I can go. I'm free. I don't have to, you know, fight back, because this hawk was not fighting back. And they're very powerful birds, and I've read some things about how they can just take out, you know, these crows, but just, you know, just do a flip over and grab them with their talons, and they're done, you know. So it was pretty neat. But, you know, we don't fight back. The Lord fights our battles. We're just soaring. And the higher we go, sometimes the battle gets more intense, and there's more enemies up there. And we don't have to strive about it. It's already done. God's doing it. He's the one taking us up higher. He's the one that's fighting our battles for us. But we're fighting the good fight of the faith. And it's our promised land. It's our inheritance. It's everything. Everything Christ is ours. And we just claim it. And we just keep soaring. We just keep gliding along. And knowing who we are in Christ. Knowing the truth. And the truth is the armor of God. Every word of God. Every promise. It's our promised land, everything. Everything God says about us, who we are, what he's done for us, what he's given to us. Whatever God's put in your heart to believe for, you claim it and you just rest in that. It's done. We may not have it all manifestly right away, but it's coming. It's ours. We claim it. We're healed. We're delivered. We're set free. We're redeemed. Christ is in us, and he is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think to ask. He's awesome. We praise you, Lord.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Yeah, Connie.
Yeah, I was telling Larry about a couple weeks ago. I said, you know, I'm going to get rid of my pills, what I have, you know, like vitamins and stuff like that. And I wasn't going to put makeup on anymore. And I wasn't going to put my glasses back on anymore. And I told him, I said, one of these days when the mark of the beast comes, we won't be able to buy or, you know, anything anyway. And so God's going to have to heal our eyes. If our glasses gets broken or something, your hearing aids gets broken. You got to depend on God. So why not do it now until we're forced into it? You know, when we can't buy and sell or whatever. So I won't put my glasses on. I know God's healed me, and I got to fight with the devil every day. This morning, I didn't think I was going to be able to read because my eyes are so blurry. And then Larry prayed for me. And I just told the Lord, I said, I'm not going to put them back on because I know I'm healed. And I fight reading the word, but I won't quit. I still stay in it.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
had myself muted there. But I could use some prayer for healing, actually. My left foot, and I think it's probably because years ago, I was helping a guy I used to go to church with. He was doing remodeling on houses, and I was in the backyard there, and accidentally stepped on a nail, went straight through my shoe. I don't know how deep it went, you know, through the center of my foot there. So I remember just like stepping off of it and just putting a t-shirt over the wound and putting my shoe back on. I thought nothing of it. Didn't go to the hospital, nothing. So I don't know if I kind of thought about this last month or so. I thought, could that be what it was? You know, so could you pray for me, Michael? I'm ready to see a healing.
Sure. Okay. Or you have pain in it?
I mean, every so often it just comes and goes. You know, I find myself limping when I walk, you know, at work. I mean, because I'm on my feet all day. And, yeah, even here at home. So, just here okay. and there.
Put your hand on your foot because God's going to heal it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus right now, I command that foot to line up with the word of God. Amen. And I command the pain to go and the foot to be healed in Jesus' name. No more irritation, no more pain, no more nothing. It's going to be normal in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, that it's going to be a testimony to your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that, Joe?
Amen. Thank you,
it's
Lord.
It's done, brother.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
It's done. Amen.
Amen.
We went into this place one time over in West Memphis. Some of you have heard this. Some of you haven't, but it was such a wonderful, wonderful move of God in that place. And it was downtown West Memphis. A lot of people in there. It was a community center. And this lady had a little boy that he was walking like this. His feet were like this, walking like it right there. And we asked her, what's wrong with him? She said, well, he's got what they call that, club foot or something. I forget what they call it, but something like that. And she said, yeah. I said, the doctors told us that they could fix it, but they'd have to break both ankles, set it, move it to set it. And after it healed up, they break it again and move it into place and let it set. And then they could pull it off. You know, this was going to take months and months and months of pain for this young God, kid couldn't have been more than 3 or 4 years old. We asked her, we said, well, you want us to pray for him? Oh, would you? Yeah, we will. We did. He did. God did. And the boy was healed. He straightened up like this. We told him, said, take off down through there, boy. And he took off running down through there, just straight as in there. Mama was just having a fit, boy. She was just hollering and praising God, and everybody in there heard her. And it was, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours later before we could get out of there, we had to pray for everybody in there. And there was all kinds of miracles happened after that. That is the power that God has given each and every one of us. And all we have to do is just be bold about it and understand that God is the one that does it. We don't do it, but he does it through us because of our faith. Because of our faith. Pulled into where I live back in Arkansas. Old man lived right on the corner. I lived out in the country and he lived here and I lived about half a quarter away from him. And I saw the EMTs there, and I stopped, and I asked him. I asked his wife. I said, "What's wrong?" She said he had a heart attack, a stroke, in the bathroom while he was in the bathroom. Said they had to get him up out of the floor and put him in the wheelchair. And gosh, I'm trying to think of the old man's name, but anyway, I went over to him. I said, "You want me to pray for him?" Now, he's Baptist. Staunch Baptist, man. Staunch Baptist. You're a staunch Baptist until you get in trouble. You know what I'm saying? And I asked him, I said, "Leland." I said, "Leland, you want me to pray for you?" I couldn't talk, couldn't talk, couldn't say a word. So I prayed for him. God did his miracle on him. He jumped up out of that wheelchair completely healed. And they told him, they said, well, Mr. His name was Leland Davis. He said, Mr. Davis, we need to take you in, check you out. He said, ain't no need to. God healed me. Walked on in the house. That was it. EMTs had to leave. This is a Baptist guy. Guy across the street from me is Church of Christ. They're good people, good people. He was a fire chief in Little Rock. And we had a Bible study, and I was always talking about God doing miracles and stuff, and they got tired of it. They got sick of it, you know, Baptist people, Church of Christ people, and Nazarenes and all of these people. They didn't believe in all that stuff, you know. And I tell them stories about people getting healed, you know, on the streets, and they didn't want to hear it. They said, let's just talk about something else. You know, I said, okay, y'all just go on. Anyway, ratchet up about a year and a half, my wife calls me. She said, Greg and wants you to, his wife, I forget her name right now, want you to come over there and pray for him. That's the first time they've ever asked me to come over and pray for him. I said, what's wrong? She said, his heart, he's had bad heart most of his life. His dad had a bad heart. I said, okay. I'll stop by there, and I'll stop by there. Love them. They're good people. And I said, what's the matter, Greg? He said, oh, I said, my heart's been palpitating, and it's not, it's just, it hurts. He said, I think I'm having an attack. I said, well, I'm fixing to pray for you. If you'll believe, God will heal you. He said, I believe. Now, he didn't grow up a Church of Christ. He grew up not, you know, nothing. But he went to the church with his wife at the Church of Christ. So he was open, and I said, I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to heal you. And so I did, and God did, and I didn't hear about it for about a week. And one day I was over at my shop was right across the street. My house and shop was right across the street from him. He walked over to my shop, and he said, Michael, I just want to thank you. He said, when you left, he said, all the pain went out of my chest, and said, I was completely healed. I said, well, that's God. That's not me. If God did that, Greg, he does still heal. He said, I know it. I know it now. That was Church of Christ. Church of Christ will staunch you against the gifts of the Spirit. They staunch you against the Holy Spirit and all of that stuff. But he was healed, and he knew it. So just be bold whenever you know, wherever you are, be bold about God. And when you're bold about God, God will be bold through you. Ooh, I get excited when I talk about the things that are coming. That's just stuff in the past. That's already happened. I've already seen that stuff. You know, that's an old hat. I want to see some new stuff. I want to see Sandy's leg grow out. And I'm going to, too. See Sandy's leg grow out. I'm going to see a big smile on Jeff's face, too. Even bigger than he's got right now. Maybe some hair will grow out the top of his head, too. I don't know. We'll see. Praise God forevermore. All right. I'm going to quit talking now, but faith is where God has all of us. That's our walk. Just believe he'll do anything, and he will. You'll see miracles. You'll be able to sit up on your porch if God tarries. And tell your great-grandchildren about the exploits of God in your life. Amen. Anybody else want to talk? Go ahead.
Michael, I just want to say that as I walk through my own journey of faith, I am picking up a lot of information, a lot of knowledge about how God works and what he desires to see in us. So I definitely do not become depressed or despondent over the fact that my vision hadn't cleared up, at least at the time. Mm-hmm. I am believing it is clear, and it will continue to be clear as long as I continue to praise and stand in it, of course. But he's taught me so much that I feel like if it had been instantaneous, I don't know if I would have collected so much knowledge to share with others and explain how it works for those that might be interested later, and I sure hope to be able to witness about that. And so God's been teaching me a lot, and I am so grateful and praising him for the trial as I sit here and listen to all these testimonies, because I can't wait to tell others that God's still doing healings. He's still doing great things, and every single one of us can take part of it. So praise God, and I am healed, and I can see, and I will continue to declare that until my test is through and forevermore, of course.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's a fine point there, Lana. God puts us through these trials to teach us things. He puts them through us. Puts us through them. There's a lot of things that there's some things that going on in my life that I've been believing for quite some time. It's healed. I'm healed. There's no doubt in my mind that I'm healed. And it's a trial of my faith to believe God, keep on believing God and thanking God and praising him for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I'm just praising God for my mute button. I was so excited with Missy's thoughts there. I was just jumping up and down. I don't know. Just one thing after another tonight is just, I'm getting so pumped up. Now, what I want to be is pumped up when I'm not on this call. It's easier with when you're around believers. But while I have the mic here, I took my brother-in-law into the emergency room. He had apparently a stomach ulcer. He's got a bunch of demons and he has a very strong religious spirit. So after all this whole, all night ordeal at the emergency room, he discovered he had to be careful and cut down on acids for his stomach. So he's going through all this list of different foods he can eat and not eat. And my wife's a nurse, so he's calls up her a lot. Can I eat, this? Can I eat that? Can I eat the other thing? And so when she's not around and she's working at the clinic, he'll call me and ask me, what about raisins? Has your wife said anything about raisins? I said, no, but I can tell you what Paul says. He says, you can eat anything. Cause I was getting so tired of all the, I said, Paul says you can eat anything. The Bible says, he says, now come on, unclean meats. so we go, So anyway, I just like to pray for wisdom and that I use discretion and speak only what the Spirit wants me to speak. I don't want to get frustrated and try to get pearls out there too soon. So anyway, I do want to be following the Spirit and not just get frustrated like I did. So.
Amen. We all want to walk in the Spirit. Father, I just ask that for everybody in here, that you teach us how to be led by your Spirit. Lord, and I thank you for it. Just wake up in the mornings and ask you, Lord, to fill us up with your Holy Spirit and then take us by the hand and lead us the rest of the day. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit so much, Lord, today nothing left but you. Michael's gone, Malcolm's gone, everybody's gone but you, Lord. And we thank you for it. And we thank you, Lord, that every time that we need to make a step, you're going to show us which way to go. We're not going to get silly about it, but we're just going to be led by your Holy Spirit. If you want us to go speak with someone, we're going to do it. We're going to have that great and bold faith that you want us to have, Lord, and that's available to everybody. And Father, we thank you for it. And when we go talk to them, Lord, you're going to bring those scriptures right up to our mind and teach us what to say, how to say it, and when to say it. And Father, we thank you that from this point on, every time we speak to whomever that you lead us to, Lord, it's going to be a change in their life because your word changes people. And we praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, somebody else had their hand up. Lana, yeah, go ahead.
I want to come back in and repent, because I now acknowledge that in my Petition for healing. I've held back on God. I chose not to tell my family, any of my family, about my healing. I have shared it with Leo's wife, Elena, and a friend of mine, but I've chosen not to tell anybody else about it because I wanted to see it happen first. And so I repent of that, and I will share it if I have the opportunity, and I will continue to declare that I am, in fact, healed, and I can see. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's what it's going to take. A resolution and a what's the word I'm looking for?
It's going to be the biggest step, because I think that I have no doubt that I've done everything as the Word of God instructs us to do in order to receive the healing. But that I was not willing to do, and it's going to be a test of my faith, and I believe that it will be complete once I follow through 100% on my part.
Yeah, well, don't make it a law now. It's just by faith that you're here. It's not something you can do, but he did say, if they ask you, no, I'm healed in Jesus' name. You don't have to call them up and just explain to them. Just let them ask you. Just tell them right
there. Very good point. Then at least I won't be under pressure to be like, I got to go claim it. If they ask me, I'll certainly admit it.
Yeah, if they ask you, Lonnie, where's your glasses at? What glasses? I don't need glasses. My Amen. Vision is perfectamundo. I don't know how you say that in Russian, but tell them that. Tell them that. Praise God. 100%. That's awesome.
Praise God. Yeah. Thank you.
Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Proclaim it, Jeff says. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, Greg, go ahead. I'm sorry. I saw you a while ago, and I said, I got to get back up to Greg, and I forgot about you.
Oh, it's all right. You've got to limit me a little bit sometimes too. So, no, I'm just saying, I've got the Bible, and all those prayers. That was me too, because I.
Okay.
And so help me, at moments when these words are coming into clear focus.
Amen.
It's you know some of this I can read it. I know what it says. I mean, I know what it says anyway. But some of it, because it's Psalm 91. But these words are coming into focus. You know, initially it was just the heading, and I was as clear as a bell. Then it faded out, and I'm looking more, and no, this is a fight. This is a fight. Anyway, it's. Watch this. Just stay tuned.
Amen. Amen. I was trying to find my little NIV. I got a little old pocket NIV. When that devil starts messing with my eyeballs, I go over and get it. It's about a number 6 font. You know, one of those things that's about that big. And it's the whole Bible in there, you know. And you got to turn the pages real careful or you tear it, you know, one of those kind of deals. And the font's about that big, you know. And I just go, I said, devil, let me show you something, what I can read. And I go over and get that thing, and I have to wait a minute. It's said, watch this. And I start reading that thing. Once I start reading it, it just clears up, clear as a bell. I just tempt the devil. See, look at, you ain't doing nothing to me. Watch this. And I go over and get that Bible and start reading that thing. Right straight down the page. Yeah, Leon.
That's the same thing like reading the text that the people are leaving over here. It's little bitty, little bitty. But I can pretty much see it.
Amen.
You can make it out anyway. I couldn't before.
Amen. Praise God. I believe everybody in here is healed. It wants to be healed in Jesus' name with their eyeballs. Yeah, Paula.
Sorry, just in terms of being tried and sticking that out until the end, this psalm for me is beautiful. Psalm 105, verse 19. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tried him. And this is concerning Joseph. So it will come to pass. The promises will come to pass. But until they do, you know, it's trying us, and it's serving a purpose. So we shouldn't feel discouraged in that waiting time. It's working in us, and it is, we will come forth as gold by His grace.
Amen. Don't get under condemnation. That's the worst thing you can do. You get under condemnation because whatever, that steals your faith. That just takes your faith right out of you. So just hang in there and says, oh, devil, get out of here. You ain't messing with me. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
I just want to comment to your condemnation comment. as long as you're not in willful sin, there's no reason you can't believe for anything. Mm-hmm. You know? And don't allow the enemy to keep trying. You know, you resist the temptation to say, well, why can't I see yet? Or, you know, whatever. As soon as you ask why, that's doubt, you know, just resist that and say, no, I can see. There's, you know, and don't receive condemnation or thinking there's something that's keeping you from receiving your healing. The only thing that's keeping you from receiving your healing is allowing the enemy to come in and start giving you doubts. You just keep confessing the good confession in the sight of many witnesses, and hold fast the confession of your hope that it waver not, because He is faithful that promised. He is faithful. His word is true. And don't allow the enemy to get you thinking, okay, what have I done? You know, why haven't I, you know, as if there's something that you've done, you know. So, yeah, don't let
the enemy. Don't make no never mind. You just go by the word, don't you, Missy?
Right.
Amen. Hey, Sebastian, what's that boy's name?
This is Oscar.
It's what?
Oscar.
Hey, Oscar, what's going on, buddy? How you doing there? Good to see you. Yeah, boy, you look about the same age as Theodore, Lana's boy. Amen.
Yeah, he's 18 months.
Oh, 18 months. Okay. He's a big boy.
That would be Maximus's age.
Yeah, okay. Maximus, yeah.
Thank Another one on the way.
All right. Praise God for a big family.
Amen.
Amen, yes. And more to come.
All right.
We'll see. Jesus.
Don't populate heaven. Amen. That's all right. Thank you, Jesus. I want to look at here what I ran across here. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Then I'm going to go to verse 5. That's where I was really going. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, let your forbearance, that's patience, let your patience be known unto all men. Here's the one I'm getting to. The Lord is at hand. What does that mean? That means He's right here. The Lord is at hand. He's right here. He's everywhere you go. So let your patience of Jesus be known unto all men. He says, in nothing be anxious. Don't get anxious because things haven't transpired in your time frame, because God may be working something else out of you, just like Missy and somebody else was talking about. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, thank God I'm already healed. Praise be to the Lord forevermore. My eyeballs is healed. I can see everything. Thank you, Jesus. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Do y'all realize what that says? It says, just understand that Jesus is with you wherever you go. He already knows you need your eyes healed. He already knows that. All he's doing, he's waiting on us. He's just waiting on us. Who's that, Tracy? Oh, okay. All right, that's people, a lot of people here tonight. Praise God forevermore. Okay, that kind of got me off track here. Is anybody else got anything on faith or whatever you want to talk about? Who is that just showed up? Hey, Phil.
Hello.
How you doing, brother?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. You just getting in?
Yeah, Leo's keeping me busy.
Okay.
Yep.
Praise God. All right. Tracy said that boy's getting big. Yeah. They love him kids. Whenever y'all come down here, I have to take them all for a ride on the tractor. Hook up the trailer and we go for a ride.
I'll probably join you guys.
Yeah, well, a lot of people do when I take them riding. We got a little old thing on the back of the tractor. It's just a big old, just a big square thing with rails around it so we can tie the kids in if we have to. And just take them out for about 2 or 3 miles.
Bungee cord them on.
Huh?
Put them on with a bungee cord.
We could do that, I suppose. Ratchet them in with a ratchet strap. No, I took Theo's the kid, Jesse, and what's his girl's name?
Leanna.
Leanna, yeah. And Tim's granddaughter, Natasha, and Brandy and Amber's daughter, Lexi, and took them all out the last time that Theo was here. So they enjoyed it. The boys got to climb up on the deer stands and up in tree stands and stuff like that. And, oh, they just had a grand time. Well, the girls did too. That was fun. Anyway, so Sebastian, you ever make it up here, we'll take Oscar on a little trip on the tractor. And the one on the way, what you going to call that one? You know yet?
If it's a boy, it'd be Otto.
Okay. All right.
We got some German influence over here.
Oh, I see. Okay.
If it is a girl, maybe it'd be Kyria.
Oh, that's pretty. That's Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, whatever it is, we bless that baby in the name of Jesus. It's going to be healthy, and mama's going to be fine, too. And it's just going to be a good pregnancy. It's going to be fine. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We speak it and declare it in the name of Jesus. You gone, April? We'll see you, girl. Bless you. Okay. What else? Anybody got a question about anything? I'll see if we can find an answer.
Michael, I got one.
Yeah, Joe. Luke 22:35. And he said unto them, when I sent you forth without purse and wallet and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. And he said unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet. And he that hath none, let him sell his cloak and buy a sword. For I say unto you, that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he was reckoned with transgressors, for that which concerneth me hath fulfillment. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. What's your question, brother?
What's the spiritual meaning of a two swords?
I don't know. What do you think it is?
I don't know. But the first sword, I think it's your, it's a word, because you're old man, you have to get the word to cut your old off the old man. But I'm not sure about this one. That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah. There's a, David has a teaching on that particular verse. Let me look at the whole thing here. Anybody got a, go ahead, Stephen. I bet Stephen's got it.
I'm trying to get the mute, there we go. Finally got it unmuted. This passage, there's a passage where first Jesus and Peter have a conversation about Peter being tempted, and Jesus is saying he's going to intercede for him. Then a little bit later, we have the passage where Jesus says, make sure you have a sword or two. And then a little bit later, Peter cuts off the guy's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so this was setting Peter up so that he could fail. And he had to have a sword so that Peter could see what was really inside of Peter. Peter didn't know, you know, Peter proved out who he really was by trying to cut off this guy's ear and take it by force instead of, God's plan. And so he had to have that sword available so that he could do that. And Jesus just wanted to make sure he had a sword. This is not a command for us to go take up arms and to, you know, go back and you know, all that kind of stuff. That's not what he's saying there. This is just setting Peter up for the situation where he could prove what he was, and then he was later delivered from that because he rejected Jesus, he denied Jesus before the rooster crowed, and then he was sorrowful for that, and then God delivered him from that, and he was a totally new man when he was at the Pentecost. So I think that's what that was about, is just to make sure that he was able to have a sword when the time came in the Garden of Gethsemane a few hours later.
Okay. David's teaching on these two scriptures. He said, when I sent you forth without purse and wallet and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, nothing. And then he turns right around, seemingly, and he said unto them, but now, and he said, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet. And he that hath not, let him sell his cloak and buy a sword. For I say unto you, that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. Listen to what it was written. And he was reckoned with transgressors, okay? For that which concerneth me hath fulfillment. He's not telling them to put that wallet and stuff in there. In the thing. Those are the transgressors, it looks like to me. The ones who go out by faith are the ones that are with Jesus. Does that make sense? I believe that's along the same lines that David has taught that I remember on that particular scripture. I remember John G. Lake, we talked about this the other night, when he left for South Africa to go on a missionary trip. This man was a multimillionaire. He gave it all up. He gave it away. gave it to missionary group, gave it to all kinds of Christian benevolent societies, all that kind of good stuff. Gave his house away, gave his car away, sold this, did that, you know, got rid of everything he had. He had $2 in his pocket when he went down to get a ticket for his wife and five kids to go to South Africa from the United States. And along the way, God provided everything that he needed all the way over to South Africa. When he got to South Africa, he didn't have a house to stay in, and he had to have $25 to even get off the boat onto South Africa. And somebody, while he was in line, I'm just going to stand in line. God's going to provide, glory to God, you know. Somebody walked up to him and said, God told me to give you this, and gave him $50. He got off. There was a lady there. I'm looking for a man with a wife and five kids. She didn't know his name. And she finally saw him and the five kids. She said, you're the one. She had a house already for him, already furnished and everything. That's the faith that God wants from all of his people. Y'all remember the story about the two Monrovian missionaries that left Monrovia on a slave ship? They sold themselves into slavery to take the gospel over to Hawaii to a slave landowner there, that all he had was slaves over. And he didn't want the Bible in there. He didn't want preachers in there. He'd send them on the way before they could ever get off their boat. And those two kids went over there and ministered to the slaves, sold their whole life to go over there and give the gospel out. Now, they never did say what happened to them, but I'm sure they went over there and did God's bidding, you know, whatever it was. That's the kind of attitude he wants from us. Nothing's more important than God, is it? Nothing is more important than God. That's why I like that book by Andrew Murray. It's called Help Me, Missy, Surrender All. No.
Absolute Surrender.
Absolute Surrender. Absolute Surrender. Now, just those two words right there, I'll tell you what God wants. He wants absolute surrender. Nothing comes before God. And that's what he's done. That's in this past Passover that we had that ended yesterday or last night. He wants absolute surrender. Nothing should come between us. I don't care what it is. Nothing should come between us and God. Anything that comes between you and God is an idol. Now, he don't like idols. I'm telling you, you can read the Bible and it'll tell you he don't like idols. He wants you and me. And I know through my walk with God that, you know, it's a hard walk. When I first got saved, that Baptist preacher told me, he said, man, you get saved, it's going to be like walking, tiptoeing through the tulips, you know. That guy lied like a dog. I tell you, as soon as I came to Jesus, all hell broke loose in my life. I'm telling you, it was just a fight the whole way. I went back to that preacher. No, I didn't. I didn't jump back into the flesh, but I sure wanted to. But it's a fight. It's a battle the whole way. The devil don't want you to succeed in Christ. He don't want us to do that. So it's a battle. And just always remember, it's your fight. Praise God. That's what Debbie's word from the Lord was all about. Enough is enough. Quit going around and around the mountain. Start believing God for these things. Amen and amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth, don't you? Okay. Has anybody else got something you want to say? I've had a good time tonight. I've been excited the whole night, glory to God. It's been a good night. All these good testimonies. My goodness. Look at that. Is that, that's Maximus there, isn't it? No, that's Phil.
That's Phil.
Say hi.
Hi, Phil. How you doing, buddy?
I say hi, Michael.
No.
Hey, buddy.
He's shy.
Is he shy? Huh? Okay. He takes that to the moment, don't he, Phil? Praise God forevermore. Oh, let me tell you something. I saw, I got a little bit of time here. I saw a thing on going back to worldly things. I saw this guy from Canada, Andrew. He was telling about for the last 30 years, he's been investigating pedophilia in the elite and the satanic stuff that's going on in the elite. He's talking about in America and Canada. And he is so excited about what Trump's doing with the military and how they're going down into these tunnels and pulling these kids out. Up in New York City alone, up in that tunnel I was telling you about the other night, they pulled out, already pulled out 2,100 kids out from under there. And he said that we, at some point in time, Trump's going to have the doctors and the nurses tell about the conditions that they were in under there. It's a very horrific conditions that they were in under there. But anyway, just a note that God is setting these kids free. He's setting them free all over the world. He's doing it. There's militaries all over the world going through these tunnels and getting these kids out. I forget what the total was the last I saw. They're pulling them out of there. These, did you realize, I didn't realize, yes, he said there are 500,000 kids missing every year. 500,000. My gracious. Where is the mainstream media in all of this? They're nowhere to be found. They don't talk about it. That ought to be front page news. It ought to be exposed all over. And that's what we're praying. Lord, I just thank you for exposing all of these evil, horrific people in the name of Jesus and setting these kids free. And I praise you, Father, for doing that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, Michael, when I hear about all the missing kids, I am blown away by how, I mean, I grew up very sheltered. I was the oldest of 12 in my family. I am the oldest of 12. And the amount of harm that God protects us from, the amount of evil that we were unaware of, still blows me away now that I'm an adult and I have my own two little kiddos. And it just, it's incredible to me that God loves me and my family and my relatives so much that very few of us can say that our kids were ever abducted or kidnapped. I don't know of any relatives that has ever happened to. And I come from a large generation where 10, 12 kids in the family is quite the norm. And that nobody's ever come up to me attempting to abduct my kids or try to, you know, distract me from my own kids. So I give all that credit to the Lord and his great gracious love and protection over my family and Theo's generation from his side, because we all come from huge families and kidnappings, abductions, missing children are almost a never happening in our generations. And we come from a very conservative Christian backgrounds, and the Lord's been gracious though in these millennial generations. Some of us hardly deserve it anymore, but praise God that he's still so good to us.
Amen. You know where most of them came from? Child Protection Services.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. particular. That's where a lot of them came from, right there. That's just unbelievable. But Lord, we just thank you because we've already been praying for it. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to expose all of this evil stuff and bring the people to justice. Amen. Lord, that everyone will see that these Satanists will not be tolerated. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for the Red Sea rising right now on them in the name of Jesus. This guy talked about, I got 1 minute. This guy talked about in the very near future that the evidence is going to be shown on TV all over the world. The evidence of what these evil people have done. And he said some people are going to go nuts because of what they're doing to these kids.
Maybe they'll collate the two together with this coronavirus too.
Yes, yes. They're using the coronavirus to do this military operation. Yeah.
No, okay. Usually people, they say this virus is because of what happened to these children. You know, they'll say that and they'll say, now we see the justification from God for this.
Yeah, probably. Could be.
You know, Michael, I also wanted to add the information that you said that a lot of these children come from Child Protective Services shocks me because I've never heard that, but yet it doesn't really surprise me because in our culture, Russian Slavic culture, like I said, large families of 10 plus up to 18 kids, if you will, are very common. And Child Protective Services we hear stories of them trying to interfere in families, accuse families of abuse and all kinds of negligence. Obviously we're human and flawed and it probably exists in some families, but most families it does not. And parents who still have memories of the old communist regime in Russia, just the Holy Spirit shows them the signs of evil. And so every time we hear stories of this, I mean, churches will get together and fast and pray for this interference to be taken away. And praise God, it's worked. But our community does have a great fear of the government trying to interfere in our families and especially Child Protective Services. And now I understand why, though I'm sure none of us were really aware of why.
Well, I can tell you this much. Vladimir Putin is working right with Trump to expose these people. Now, that's hard to believe, but he is. He's working right with Trump to expose the deep state evil Satanists that are running the world, that have been running the world. They're coming down. Praise God forevermore. All right.
I'm sorry, Michael. Who did you say was working right with Trump? I didn't catch that.
Vladimir Putin.
Oh, yeah.
That's the president of Russia. That's the king of Russia. Ever what they call him over there. Premier of Russia. I don't know. But that's the head guy over there. Did you have something, Andrew?
No, I was just going to say that Jesus, you know, he was a child once too, so he knows what this is all about. We were all children. For someone to be exposed to something like anything like that, you know, there is a real zeal in God's eyes to get rid of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And don't be surprised. I don't know. I'll tell you what, let's close out and then I'll say, thank you, Father, for a good night tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your great and bold faith you placed in us. We thank you for all the healings that's already taken place tonight in the name of Jesus. And Father, give us all a good night's sleep tonight. And bless all those babies out there, Lord. All of them. All the ones that are here. And all the ones that are on the way, in Jesus' name. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Good night, everybody.